This used to be a hell of a good country. I don't understand what's going on with it.
Everybody got chicken, man. That's what happened.
Recognize that voice? That's Jack Nicholson in the movie Easy Rider. Answering him is Dennis Hopper. When Hopper said those words, audiences sat in theaters, nodding their heads. They had no idea just how chicken people could really become a half century or so later. In this era, calling someone a chicken would be a compliment. Chickens are heroic compared to millions of Americans. People darting around with masks and face shields in the open air. Masked driving in cars alone months after the pandemic has been declared over. Now some are demanding a vaccine for the common cold. Or bitching about microaggressions and pronouns.
I don't feel safe. Make me safe. What about my safety?
How has this nation degenerated so far and so fast? America has self-castrated. Is there any hope of testicular regrowth? Let's find out.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 You're gonna die.
That's not just a catchphrase from Duke Nukem. That's a natural fact. One we don't like to face, but everybody dies. No exceptions. Commies screaming for equity should love the Grim Reaper, shouldn't they? It's the ultimate equity, guaranteed equal outcome, regardless of creed, race, and all the other partitions they use to divide us. So why are commies the ones so afraid to die? Because they're godless bastards, that's why. They know that when it's the end for them, it's oblivion. Those who believe in God know the end is just a better beginning. A cousin of mine recently told me a terrific story. She's a native Texan. And has that Texas mindset. She was on a flight that got caught in a hell of a storm, lightning bolts flashing, sudden vertical drops. The plane was getting banged around like dice in a Yahtzee cup. The guy beside her could see she was rattled and asked if she was okay. She answered that she guessed she was. He then asked her if she was right with Jesus. She answered yes. And he told her that JC didn't much care whether he got to meet her in this plane now or drinking coffee at her kitchen table tomorrow, so why worry? She took some comfort in that. How did America become so cowardly? Easy. The root of cowardice is selfishness. And this is the selfie age, is it not? Narcissism is encouraged, promoted, celebrated. During the shank of the pandemic, America's top military man, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, was seen strolling around the Philippines, wearing a mask and a plastic face shield. He took a lot of heat for that. Some say unfairly because mask and visor was the protocol in the Philippines. Except there were many Filipinos in the same video with Austin who were not wearing visors. But masks and visors aside, this guy is the top soldier in the country, and he's pretty typical of what's now running the military. Uniformed politicians. Those uniforms are invariably plastered with medals and bars for what? Did Austin charge a machine gun nest in Kabul and wipe out a mess of ISIS? Maybe he did some other badass act of bravery a la Audie Murphy or Sergeant York. Can't find any record of stuff like that. By the time Austin got to Iraq or Afghanistan, his rank was way, way above anyone to be found on the front lines. So what are all those decorations on his uniform? There's a bunch of them listed on Wikipedia, stuff like Meritorious Service and Expeditionary Force. Kind of vague. Like travel stickers for your suitcase. You could have a layover in Paris, get a sticker, and technically you could claim you had been to Paris. Maybe the military invented participation medals, and schools just borrowed the concept for trophies. What Austin does deserve a medal for is leveraging a mediocre military career into a lucrative semi-retirement. The moment he retired in 2016, he joined the boards of a bunch of big corporations, including massive defense contractor Raytheon, Tenet Healthcare, steel producer Nucor, and Auburn University. Betcha Raytheon's keeping Lloyd's board seat warm for him if and when Joey's regime ends. And Austin might be eager to reclaim it. During his brief stint with Raytheon's board, they paid him $2.7 million. As Joey proves time and time again, it ain't what you know, but who you know. Seems they're all uniform politicians. Joint Chief of Staff Mark Milley was in Afghanistan and catastrophically underestimated the Taliban, resulting in the deaths of 183 civilians and 13 American troops. He called the withdrawal a, quote, logistical success, but a strategic failure, unquote. Maybe one of those ribbons on his chest is for slinging outrageous, extraordinary bullshit. What a punk. Both he and Austin are obvious narcissists. Austin often refers to himself in the third person. That's Olympic caliber narcissism. The commander-in-chief, whose only alleged combat experience was his fictive rumble with the mythological corn pop, well, he's a narcissist of epic proportions, inventing bullshit story after bullshit story, always portraying himself as a hero, getting arrested in South Africa as he attempted to meet with Mandela. Never happened. Claiming to have created, finger quotes, millions of jobs, when in fact it was his insane and unnecessary COVID mandates that closed businesses and forced layoffs. Now some of those jobs are coming back, and Joey says he created them. This nation is in deep, deep trouble. It's the work of the worst regime in our history, but the problem goes a lot deeper. As Andrew Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture, and there will be no political change without a sea change in the culture. Beyond his statement about culture and politics, he said something very germane to this episode. Referring to the left, he said, quote, "They can only win a rhetorical and propaganda war. They cannot win. We outnumber them in this country, and we have the guns." He laughed. "I'm not kidding. They talk a mean game, but they will not cross that line because they know what they're dealing with. And I have people who come up to me in the military, major named people in the military, who grab me and say, 'Thank you for what you're doing. We've got your back.'" Unquote. Breitbart died in 2012. Would he think the same way today about who is in the majority? Would major named military people assure him they had his back? We know Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley would not, and they're as major as it gets. In the time of Nixon, this country was very divided over the war in Vietnam and rampant crime. The news was saturated with protests, riots, hippies and yippies and SDS, burning flags and so on. Nixon, or his press flacks, well, they coined the term the silent majority, meaning people who were not eager to fundamentally transform America, as a later president would promise. Nixon's assessment of American culture was correct at that time. The noisy ones, the violent ones, were, in fact, a small minority. But they appeared larger because a sympathetic media provided them with constant coverage, and their antics were amusing. They were mostly considered kooks and nuts, freaks and malcontents. Quite a diverse group. But the one thing they had in common was an allegiance to Marxism, or its lower octane equivalent, socialism. Now many people, tragically misinformed people, believe that America's race to the bottom is still led by a kooky, nutty fringe of malcontents. And they are terribly mistaken. They are not the fringe. They are the majority. They control the levers of power. They run the biggest and most powerful corporations. They run the legacy media. They run the military. They run the Senate. They also run Joey, who may not know if he's a leader or a rutabaga. The tragically misinformed latch on to silly rally cries like, go woke, go broke. Really? And where's the evidence of that? The richest corporations on the planet are also the wokest. The woker they get, the more money they make. Remember the red wave? We'll get them in the midterms. How'd that work out? In every part of the world where communism has taken hold, it's been at gunpoint. Soviet Russia, China, North Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, Laos. Now it's metastasizing in America, and it's not at gunpoint. And America's split by two basic groups, ASTCOs, that's assholes seeking to control others, and LUTFAs, which of course stands for Leave Us the Fuck Alone. The fact that you're listening means you're probably a LUTFA. You know who you are and what you stand for. But those ASTCOs, where do they come from? What makes them ASTCOs? Some are born into it. Those who are not have been lab-created, the labs being the educational indoctrination cartels, which are exponentially wealthier and more powerful than any drug cartels. Just look at those endowments. That's where ASTCOs are cultivated. But if you scratch the surface of an ASCO, what you will find is a narcissist, a whiny, self-centered, talentless, unaccomplished drone who is furious about everything, beginning with his or her own inadequacies. For their entire lives, they have been told, assured, that they deserve respect. The fact is, nobody deserves respect. Respect has to be earned. They've been told they are special, and they've got shelves full of participation trophies to prove it, or uniforms covered with ribbons and medals that celebrate being someplace. You know, the special bar has been so lowered that now just showing up or drawing breath is an achievement. But after a while, those meaningless trophies and medals, they lose their luster. They stop generating attention or respect. The ASTCO feels unnoticed. Easy fix. Just pick one of 78 genders and demand attention and respect when you do. Or align yourself with some aggrieved group. That too might grab some attention. For a while. But it won't last. Ultimately, we all have to do something, something of value, not just for ourselves, but for others, to earn respect. Whether it's providing for a family, running a business, doing a job, any job, something that is not entirely self-focused. Narcissists can only survive within massive institutions, big government, big business, academia. Plenty of fellow narcissists to cover their lies, failures, and lack of talent. Narcissists, laggards, and cowards can easily thrive in a field army of 50,000. Not so in a squad of 6 to 10 guys. There they are quickly outed and shown lots of well-deserved disrespect. But all the aforementioned institutions continue to swell, and the moment somebody says anything about reducing the budgets, and thereby the size of these institutions, oh, how they scream and spit and lose their shit. We have recently seen a marvelous case study in reducing a swollen organization while exposing punks, frauds, bullies, laggards, and narcissists. Twitter. Musk said he was going to buy it. They screamed. He bought it. They screamed louder. He fired over half the employees. They screamed, wept, threatened, and some are actually suing him. Good luck with that. Every one of them is making a big discovery. Despite what their mommies and daddies told them, and every teacher since preschool, they're not special. They are expendable. And nobody's special until they do something special. No one owes them respect. No one owes them anything. And if any of them could come up with a way to make Twitter more profitable, Musk would say, name your price. Then they would be special. It was amusing watching Yoel Roth and other Twitch hit censors being grilled and, yes, disrespected by that congressional committee. Some looked as if an aneurysm was imminent. It's fun to watch bullies get bullied, even pencil-necked digital bullies. If only Musk could buy the government, the military, academia, Disney, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Pfizer. The list is endless. At the top of the show, I wondered if there was hope for America. It's hard to say. Who knows how the pendulum might swing? In the movie Easy Rider, Billy and Wyatt just wanted to have long hair, smoke weed, and cruise around on their choppers. They wanted to be left alone. They were LUTFAs. The flick had an often repeated tagline, which also turned out to be weirdly prophetic.
Easy Rider. It's the story of a man who went looking for America and couldn't find it anywhere.
It was actually two men looking for America, but who's counting? They took a lot of drugs on that movie. But if they could not find America in 1969, they'd think they were on Mars in 2023. If they remade Easy Rider today, it would be two non-binaries on electric scooters putting along in the bike lane. They would not be looking for America, they'd be looking for the next vegan restaurant. They would not pick up any hot women, and the only sex scenes would be with each other. The only drugs would be prescription, Adderall, Zoloft, plus a Pfizer booster. They'd never touch cash, and if their Venmo accounts got low, Mom would refill it. Their helmets would have coexist in Ukraine flag stickers. The t-shirts would say, vote blue no matter who. They'd wear only plant-based garments, so no leathers, thank you. They'd carry their iPhones in holsters, not just for grabbing video, but so they can report suspicious activity of any type. If they see something, they say something. They'd follow every rule, obey every sign, and chronicle their journey with Instagram posts of each swirly latte and precious thrift shop between Minneapolis and St. Paul. And that would conclude the road trip, because riding more than 7.5 miles could be dangerous. And scooters have limited range, and motorcycles, well, they're not good for the planet. Another prescient line from Easy Rider is this one.
They scared of what you represent to them.
Amen.
All we represent to them, man, is somebody who needs a haircut.
Oh, no. What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
That was Jack Nicholson conversing with Hopper. In their day, freedom was what it was all about. That was then. This is now. And then, as now, Astcos despise those who love freedom. They fear them. They hate them. They hate freedom itself because not being told what to do and where and eat and drive and think, that scares the shit out of them. How's it all going to turn out? I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But remember this, despite their superior numbers, the Astcos are the frightened ones. Let's try to keep them scared. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. For hundreds more episodes, hop over to thatlarryshow.com. While you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. If you like what you just heard, click that Patreon or PayPal button and help me keep the show going. There's a post office box address also that gratefully accepts checks and cash. If you'd like to tell the world that you are a Lutva, I still have a few of those fabulous waterproof, weatherproof, magnetic Lutva stickers. Looks great on your car, your refrigerator, anything. Check them out at thatlarryshow.com. If you want one, they're $10. Click the PayPal button. And be sure to include the words Lutva sticker with your order. They're also 3 for $25. If you're not budgeted for a donation, then share a link to the show on your social media or in an email to a friend. Takes 5 seconds and works wonders for this show and your karma. And as always, a special jumbo-sized thank you to those magnificent Dojo members who helped me keep the show going with your financial support. I'll see you next Wednesday, or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.